Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart.
Every symbol, every story leaves a breadcrumb trail. The healing power of your dreams is calling through the night, turning broken pieces into wings, turning shadows into light. The healing power of your dreams knows more than you believe. A message from your deeper self. A miracle while you sleep.
I'm standing on a railway platform at dusk, clutching an enormous old-fashioned suitcase. It's so heavy, I can't lift it. Every time I try to put it down, I hear a voice whispering, "You can't leave without it."
Then a platform begins to crack beneath my feet. The train I've been waiting for glides in silently, its doors open, but no one gets off. The conductor looks directly at me and says, "Final boarding." I try to run, dragging the suitcase behind me, but it grows heavier with every step. Suddenly, the suitcase bursts open. Instead of clothes, thousands of tiny paper birds explode into the air. Each bird has a word written on its wings. Regret, should have, if only, what they think. Failure, failure, failure. They swirl around me like a storm. I cover my face as the birds fly higher and higher until they disappear into the sunset. The suitcase is suddenly empty and I look at the train again. This time, I step aboard, carrying nothing at all. As the train pulls away, I look back. The platform, the cracks, even the station itself dissolves into the light. I wake up just as the sun rises outside my bedroom window.
Wow. Welcome, everyone, to Kelly Sullivan Walden. Read your dreams with such dramatic breath. Wonderful. Thank you. And that dream came
from welcome.
Noah, one of our listeners. Noah, thank you also. I have to say, if dreams came with TV contracts, let go of Harlan Coben Netflix and move on to the Dream Divas.
Oh, yeah. Noah, that was quite an epic dream. It had everything in it. The drama, the mystery, the suspense, the symbolism. And honestly, I was halfway through the reading thinking, I would binge watch this. For sure. Make this into a show. Hollywood, are you listening?
Beneath all that drama is one of the most powerful dream themes there is. Letting go and moving on.
Yeah. No. So let's talk about that suitcase, the baggage, the bagage, as we like to say. The dream divas know that baggage in dreams is never just about carrying your essentials with you. It's a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Exactly. We've all traveled with suitcases that have felt emotionally loaded.
Yep. And those airline baggage fees are enough to give anyone recurring nightmares.
Very true. But in dreams, as Kelly said, baggage often represents emotional baggage, which is old beliefs, regrets, fears, or expectations we've carried for so long that they actually begin to feel like a part of who we are.
Yeah. So let's just get into my favorite moment in this dream where Noah believes for a moment that he has to carry this luggage. Even though he doesn't want to carry it, he thinks he has to because the voice in his head says, "You can't leave without it," like the old American Express commercial, but in a bad way. Isn't that exactly how limiting beliefs work? You can't change. This is how it is. You'll never move on. This is just the way it's going to be forever and ever. And those voices sound like the voice of God. They sound so convincing until we question them.
And that's what dreams help you do so brilliantly. They don't just replay your fears symbolically. They gently challenge them and get you to ask questions of them. Notice Noah doesn't force the suitcase open. It opens by itself at exactly the right moment.
And instead of big old bowling balls, out of that luggage comes paper birds. I love how that image just works on my psyche because every little bird carries a limiting thought and it's releasing the self-doubt, the regret, the worry, the what do other people think of me? Oh my God, Noah's dream is definitely my dream. They look so heavy or they feel so heavy when they're inside, but once they're released, they're light enough to just fly away as if they had never been there at all.
Beautifully put, Kelly. You're very poetic today. Well, you always are. But you're right. Those old beliefs can dominate our lives until we realize they were never meant to be carried forever.
Dream diva, point to you, Teresa. We're being so self-congratulatory today.
I will happily accept that Dream Diva point.
Okay, but not so fast. Here's my dream diva comeback. Look at the train. It doesn't chase Noah. It simply arrives and it waits. And I think about that Marianne Williamson quote, if it's your train, oh wait, you don't have to wait, let the train go by. Okay, I'll think of it by the end of the show. Anyway, life is off. If it ain't your train, oh God, forget it. I'm
You
gonna
have
find this, I'm
the
gonna find the quote.
adverts to Google.
Life, well, I will. So new opportunities appear quietly, just like that. So the real question here is whether we're still dragging yesterday behind us when the new opportunity arrives.
Love that. Dreams are full of trains, roads, bridges, and doorways because psychologically, we're always traveling somewhere. Every night, our dreaming mind asks us, what are you ready to leave behind? What direction are you heading? Where do you want
Okay,
to
I got it. I have the Marianne Williamson
go?
quote.
Okay.
And this is more in a relationship
You Googling
context,
whilst I
but
was speaking, Kelly.
sorry.
Astonishing.
If the train doesn't stop at your station, it's not your train. So if it just goes away, let it go. And as importantly, it was like, what are you moving toward? What do you want to do? Because life isn't about letting, I mean, when you let go, you're really not losing anything. It's about making space for something better, maybe something that's true and
Another
you.
dream diva point. We should have a gong. We should ask
We
Johan to give us a
should.
gong when we have
Johan,
dream
could you please
diva.
keep track? Alex
That's
is keeping track. Okay.
why
We're going
so
to
many
see.
recurring dreams keep returning. They're patiently encouraging us to release one old mindset that no longer serves us. Until we do release it, the dream simply finds another way to tell exactly the same story.
It's so true. Dreams are wonderfully hopeful like that. They don't show us who we're stuck being. They always remind us who we're capable of becoming. Somewhere in the dream, that's always there if we look for it.
That's the healing power of your dreams. Every single night, they invite us to travel a little lighter, trust ourselves a little more, and take one more step towards the life that's waiting for us.
Preferably, if I can say the word, preferably without 3 tons of emotional, spiritual, psychological baggage. We don't need it. Let's
So,
drop it.
listeners, if you have recurring dreams or any kind of form of transport, particularly trains in your dreams and suitcases, leave the emotional excess baggage at the station. And speaking of letting go and moving on, that brings us perfectly to our first special guest today. He's devoted years to helping people discover the extraordinary freedom that comes from releasing what no longer serves them. He's a true master of the healing power of letting go and now the healing power of moving on.
Yes, and he is our very first special guest, knows a thing or two about releasing what weighs us down. John Perkis has lived quite an extraordinary life. After studying economics at Cambridge and gaining an MBA from INSEAD, INSEAD, see, that's how much about economics I know. INSEAD, he built a successful career in banking and management consultancy. But in his 20s, everything changed when he was diagnosed with clinical depression, an experience that very nearly cost him his life. Following conventional treatment, John began searching for something deeper, and he found long-lasting answers in the Vedic tradition. Those life-changing insights inspired his wonderful books, The Power of Letting Go and The Power of Moving On. Along the way, he's experienced some remarkable healings, that challenged everything he thought he knew about the mind, body, and spirit.
Thank you, Kelly. And John, it's such a pleasure to welcome you to the healing power of your dreams today, particularly the theme of the books you write, the power of letting go and the power of moving on, the synchronicity, things going on in my life at the moment. I just love this show. Often our shows sort of mirror what's going on in our
So
lives. So
true.
thank you. And I have read The Power of Letting Go, and I'm working my way through The Power of Moving On. And bravo, thoroughly deserved best-selling status for those books. I'd love to begin at the beginning with you, though. Your life looked incredibly successful from the outside in, yet internally, you were facing one of the darkest periods imaginable, the dark night of the soul, I believe we call it. Looking back now, do you feel that depression was difficult? Was difficult though it was somehow inviting you to become this version of yourself that you are now, to let go of who you were, thought you were, to really discover who you truly are?
Yes, I now see it as an enormous blessing.
He says with a
Feeling
laugh.
bad
I'm
about
glad.
it, good. I tell myself
Terrible.
that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was an awful experience, being suicidally depressed, but now I see it as a blessing.
Wow. I love this idea. So this is sort of a shameless plug for my book Dreamifesting, but a lot of people talk to me about manifesting, about how to create what you want. And one of the things I love about your work is don't try so hard. Let go. Get out of the way. Maybe the universe wants to give you something. So let's just, for people who don't know, first of all, what it is they need to let go of or how, what's something that you can tell our listeners today that if they're holding on to an old hurt, a disappointment, or trying too hard, what's something that they can do immediately to get out of their own way?
To get out of it. Well, one way of looking at it is that we're all, to use the metaphor, we're all on a train to enlightenment, right? That's where we're all.
Ooh, nice.
And life keeps showing us what we need to face. Like all the time, right? So, for example, you might have some hurt or something that you've suppressed and you're not addressing it, and life will show it to you. So, it could be someone cuts in ahead of you in traffic, it could be someone treads on your foot, it could be someone steals your money, it could be someone insults you at a party. Somehow, life will show you your pain pattern, which has been inside you. The original ones go back to somewhere between the ages of 2 and 7. So most people listening to this, they would have been in a meeting where somebody said something and someone just reacted out of all proportion, or a family gathering or something, right? And so something minor happens, but but the person is triggered by it. And so basically life is showing that person, this is something you need to face. And it's usually been suppressed. And by the way, it can come out in your dreams.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, John. You have no idea how wise those words sound, particularly today for me. Thank you. Thank you. It was interesting you said we're all on a train, as long as it's not the train to Busan.
I've got that video. I haven't watched it. I must watch
Oh.
it now.
I don't know
Yeah,
what that
well,
is.
oh, it's zombies. Zombie.
Oh, yeah. Let's not go there. Let's
They end
not.
up killing each other and being
Okay.
ripped apart. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting
John
carried
said the
away.
train to enlightenment. Let's
Enlightenment, not
not to zombie land.
do do.
No, other direction.
Now, both your books draw so beautifully on the wisdom of the Vedic tradition, which teaches that peace comes from not controlling life, but from changing our relationship with it. Now, dreams, I'm going to ask you about dreams. I know you don't write extensively about them, but dreams do speak that same symbolic language every night. And do you feel that dreams can actually help us loosen our grip on the past and move us towards the deeper peace that you're finding?
Yes, I would. I can only speak from my own experience. So in the two books, I talk about this technique called the completion technique, where you intensely relive the original painful experience, right? And it's thousands of years old. But the experience I had when I first learned it, which was 12 years ago, is I went to India when I first met my guru, and I spent 3 weeks on the ashram, and we did a questionnaire at the beginning and the end. All right. And the main activity was this real intense reliving of the painful incidents.
And one of the questions was about dreams. And what was really interesting is by the end of the 3 weeks, most people were dreaming a lot less. So the basic idea is that we have these, let's say on a given day, you have a number of painful or annoying experiences. And then when you're asleep, your mind is processing, your subconscious is processing all this stuff, right? And it all comes out, it tells you, right? Well, if you intensely relive those experiences or complete with them before you sleep, then there's no need for that. There's much less need for that cleaning up process to happen at night.
I love that. Give your dreaming mind a holiday.
Or
I
they need the cleaning team to come around if you've already cleaned, right?
that. Yeah, but it's doing even deeper. It's going deeper and deeper, and it's thinking, well done you. During the day, you're doing the work. So I don't need
Or
to trigger recall so much. Thank you for that positive spin on a poor dream recall, because I'm sure it
I'll give you an example. I mean, sometimes I love photography and I have some very expensive cameras. And for years, I used to have dreams about losing a camera or someone stealing it, which has never happened. Like I would lose a camera or someone steal a camera. And then just recently, I've been having dreams about buying a camera. And then I wake up, I think, I don't need any more cameras, right? So the dreams point us towards these pain patterns or things that we need to address. Like
Yeah.
that. Why is my mind producing all this drama about cameras?
John, don't go anywhere because we're just about to jump into our first break. Loving this conversation. We'd love to hear more about your extraordinary wisdom and healing experiences that you've had.
Yes. And I wanted to say to that point, Michael Beckwith says pain pushes until inspiration pulls. So maybe if we have some space, we don't have to just have the sorting out dreams. We can open ourselves up to those very inspirational dreams. And we're just scratching the surface here. So wherever you are, don't just hold that dream,
Oh,
you
she did
know.
it again. You know perfectly well that is my line to those great
Sorry.
Kelly.
You
So
got to let that go.
I'm going to bedazzle it now. Don't just
Okay.
hold on to your dream, listeners. Hold on to your soul, your subconscious, and possibly the cosmos itself.
Woo, because you never know. We'll see ya. All of the above on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. So, John, or Banahasta, if I may call you by your spiritual name. Before the break, Teresa was mentioning some of the extraordinary healing experiences you've had, and you spoke about receiving remote healing for some serious problems with both of your knees. I'm really interested in this because my husband had a very wild healing experience in a dream that healed his knees as well.
Oh,
So
wow.
I'm so curious about how this happened to you. So what happened? What did it teach you? about the hidden connection between the mind, body, and the spirit.
Oh wow, that's a big subject. I'll give you two examples.
Great.
So I've received healing and I also channel healing. So the receiving healing part, so I was brought up as a Christian and I heard all these stories about Jesus and healing and fine. And then when I went to India, and I've been to India 5 times, but from the second time onwards, I went to see my guru when he was in India, and I saw him healing people with his hands. And it was just like Jesus. Like he just put his hand on people's head and people were being healed. And so I thought, oh, this is like the New Testament, amazing, but live, you know. And then I've had two experiences. So he left India to avoid being murdered in 2018. You know, humanity has a habit of killing
Wow,
spiritual masters, right? That's happened a lot. So he's in India and he's been on Zoom since then. And twice I've submitted requests for healing. So the first time, the doctors, by the way, I have zero medical training, right? The doctors had been trying to deal with my tendonitis in one knee for 3.5 years. And he sat on his chair and he said, I will heal you now. And it disappeared. That was it, gone. And then that was 3.5 years ago. And about a year ago, I had a complex tear on the meniscus in my left knee. And normally, I think you have to fall off a motorbike or something to do that. I have no idea where it came from. And by the way, he's called Sri Nitya, Paramahamsa Nityananda. So Nityananda means eternal bliss. So his name has changed over time, but the key part is Nityananda. Anyway, so I had a steroid injection. I went to see a surgeon. I had the, you know, anyway, so. Again, he was on Zoom, so I sent him a summary of what the orthopedic surgeon had said, and I could barely walk. And he sat there and he said, "It's very interesting to read what the doctors have said. I will heal you now." And the pain went down 90%. And after that, I just did physiotherapy for a while, and recently I've been doing yoga, and my knees are better than they've ever been. Like I can squat. I can squat very easily. I can do yoga. There's no problem at all.
Brilliant. Thank you, John, for sharing that. I
Yeah.
want to go dreams, shoulders, knees, and toes. I do
Knees and
have
toes, knees and
that. Thank
toes.
you. Now, dreams often have dreams within dreams, don't they? And
Yes.
we're going to make today's conversation even more dreamlike because you may not realize it, everyone, but this show is designed to make you feel like you are lost in a dream. And hopefully by the end of it, you find yourself. And because today's dream theme, inspired by John, is letting go and moving on, our next guest reminds us that sometimes what we're really letting go of is all the layers that stop us from simply being ourselves in the present moment. Please do stay, John, because we'd love you to join in this conversation with myself and Kelly too. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Marijke McCandless. McCandless. Marijke is the best-selling author of Naked in the Now, Juicy Practices for Getting Present. Kelly, you're smiling. Have I pronounced it wrong?
No, I think you did it beautifully. I
You
was
want to take
impressed.
over? Can you just repeat? I'm
No.
panicking now. Is it
You did
correct?
so good, Marijke McCandless. Yeah?
That's correct. I hate pronouncing people's wrong because people always do that with me. It's Tracy Cheong. I mean, I get that all the time. Anyway, she's a best-selling author of Naked in the Now, Juicy
Yes.
Practices for Getting Present. I love that. She's a
Yeah.
mindfulness coach, playfulness instigator. Oh, I love that title. And creator of the hugely popular Right Now Mind community, helping people strip away inhibition, embrace the present moment joyfully, and discover a richer, more joyful, smiley way of living. Kelly?
Marijke, thank you so much for joining us. And I have to say, I love Naked in the Now. This is my kind of book, and I love the whole idea of it. And let's just get clear for people that might be just joining us. The nakedness you're talking about mostly is a metaphor. Yes.
Yes,
Mostly. We're not
mostly
encouraging nudism. All right.
naked dreams, of course,
I
are in
always say
the
no
top.
clothing removal required in my workshops,
Oh, That's so great. I love that you use the inner striptease, which is hilarious and so fun. It's so fun to bring some juicy playfulness to spirituality. So talk about how this came to you, how being naked in the now came to you, and how do you teach people about how to do this to become more of their authentic selves?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me on the show, and what fun to be with these particular guests. And anyway, so yeah, naked in the now, I wanted to bring a lighthearted, somebody called my book a cheeky little book on mindfulness, and I really like that. It's like
That's
I
funny.
wanted to bring the lighthearted, this doesn't have to be so serious, because when we get serious about stuff, as John was pointing out, we strive, we try really hard, when actually what Where when the world opens up for us is when we're relaxed, when we're letting go, as John would put it. And so I began playing with the whole idea of nakedness, really, because it has that double-sided sort of aspect to it, right? I mean, especially in dreams, Teresa, right? To archetypically, if you're naked in your dream, you feel totally vulnerable, risked. All you want to do is put your clothes back on, right? But the what I wanted to point to was this other side of nakedness, the juiciness, the playfulness, the arenas where we typically can sometimes, in the right setting, let down our armor and enjoy life where, and so I wanted to riff off that idea. So Naked in the Now has all these chapters that kind of mildly hint at it, but ultimately what I'm talking about is really similar to what John's talking about. And I think it's so helpful to have all these different words used to help people do kind of the same thing. So I call it an inner striptease.
I
Oh,
love
I
that. I
love
love that. I love
that.
that.
So great.
Veronica, I'm in the playful spirit of this, which this question is intended. Business opportunity. Do you run workshops in nudist camps?
Teresa.
No,
I think that
actually.
there's a market for you.
Yeah, why not?
I want to throw in one little thought that,
Yeah.
and this is something I teased in the little preview video that I'm put on Instagram before the show. It
Yeah.
what I think, and Teresa, I'd love your feedback on this as well. Like, if we dream that we are naked, but we're like, oh, that's cool, then is our work done? I mean, Byron Katie says, when you forgive,
Veronica,
when they attack you and you realize you're loving them with your whole heart, your work is done. What if our work is done if we're naked in our dream and we're like, hey, that's cool. I don't know. What do you think about that, Marika?
yeah, I mean, I would. Yes, definitely. And there's aspects of it. There's different ways. We might not so literally also show ourselves as naked. I mean, dreams have played such an important role, actually, in my journey, and in my, I talk about them more in my first book, a memoir. But I have had dreams where I was. A different way of having a naked dream too. I actually dreamt that I died. And this was the moment before, this was the night before I was beginning the start of my spiritual journey. And I was na in that dream, I was completely naked, but I was also aware that there was an important transformation coming. So I had been stripped of all my clothes, but also stripped of all my baggage in a way, momentarily, to be open for what was next.
Ultimate nakedness, isn't it? Death in a dream. Your
Yes,
pure
yes,
essence.
yes.
Oh, Marijke, thank you. People who are new to you, you are very well known in Holland, I believe, where you're based. Would you mind just
No, I'm in America.
in America now, but you
I
are
yes.
You were born
She's
in.
come to my side of
She's come
things.
to
Thank you,
the.
Marika.
I've never lived in Holland. My family is from Holland. My
Okay.
mom's family is from Holland. And I've visited there, of course, many times. I've never lived there.
It's interesting because you have the, because I'm part Dutch as well, and there is a much openness. I remember whenever I went there that they don't seem to know what curtains are. It seems like everybody, you can just look in, because I'm quite private. In the UK, we're kind of like, ooh, But anything, I'm going to ask but you first, Marijke, and then John. If you, I mean, we're talking about letting go and moving on at the moment. If you, and I love this show to offer practical tips, if you could both, starting with you, Marijke, then John, invite our listeners to release just one thing today, what would that be? And what new chapter would it open as a result?
It's funny. You've asked a very specific question, but I have probably a bigger answer. So I'll start by answering your question. I think because I use a three question approach for getting started on the inner striptease, but I'll just focus on the middle one. And the middle question is so the questions work you through the body, mind, and spirit, and the middle one is the mind. And the question is to ask yourself, is that so? To whatever belief you're holding on to. And then to really investigate that. Do I really 100% know that that is true? So my little quick example that I love to give is it's about releasing limiting beliefs, right? So when I was in my mid-50s, I was very afraid of heights. I was not physically fit, and I was in my mid-50s, older. But my oldest daughter had started rock climbing, and she's like, "Mom, Dad, you gotta try rock climbing." I'm like, "I can't rock climb. Are you crazy?" You guys see my fake background? This is a rock climbing
Yes.
break.
Oh my God, that's so impressive.
But I, because I was deep into my work by that point, I did think to ask my question, is that so? Is it possible that I could rock climb? I don't know. I've never tried it, and so now I'm an avid rock climber. So now I rock climb all the
Wow.
times.
Oh, that.
And it took honoring the fear a little bit. I used to cry on the wall, but and I used ropes, so I knew I couldn't actually hurt myself. It was all in my head. But anyway, so ask yourself about all of your assumptions. Is
Is
that
that so,
so?
Marijke? Thank
Is
you.
that
And
so?
John, because I'm eager to bring our third guest in as well, would love your practical tip for
Yeah,
this.
I'd like to follow on with beliefs. So what I would suggest people do is go back to your very earliest painful memory and find out the conclusion you came to, the belief. So, example, my earliest painful memory is I was 3 years old. I was strapped into a chair to have my hair cut, and I kicked and screamed. And I realized, having done the work on that, that I concluded at the time, I'm a powerless victim and life doesn't give me what I want. And we all have it. It's called a root pattern, right? So that one of the key beliefs is life doesn't give me what I want, right? And lots of people have a belief, or a belief like that, or that belief. It can be all kinds of variations. Anyway, the key technique is relive to relief. So you go back, you become 3 years old, and you intensely relive that episode until it loses all of its power. So the principle is, you don't manifest your desires, you manifest your beliefs. So you have to go back and tackle those beliefs. If you need to, do it with a therapist. Lots of therapists are now recommending this approach. But
Thank
that's
you,
my
John. That's powerful. And we're talking today about letting go and moving on. And forgive the puns, but dreams absolutely love a good pun. We're going to let go now and move on to our third special guest today, who is another real mover and shaker, this time in the world of publishing.
She certainly is. We are delighted to welcome Becca Anderson, the pen name of award-winning publishing powerhouse Brenda Knight. Brenda began her career at HarperCollins, working alongside some truly inspiring voices, including Paulo Coelho, Marianne Williamson, and His Holiness the Dalai Lama, not to name drop, but I think it deserves it.
I work with Kelly Sullivan Walden. What are you
talking? Oh, there you go, Teresa. You're good. That's all you need. So Brenda's gone on to become an award-winning publisher, best-selling author herself, and champion of books that encourage us to live with greater courage, compassion, and authenticity. Many listeners will know her hugely successful, badass affirmations. And now she's back with her latest book, Badass Gratitude. So excited. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us. And what strikes me about gratitude, it's not just about appreciating what we have. It's so much more than that. Teresa, I don't know if you know this, but I had a dream recently because I'm a Francophile, like trying to understand French. And I just found out
that... Don't let her in. She keeps trying to get to France.
I know. I'm going to get there. I'm going to be fluent in French one of these days. But I learned that the word for gratitude is reconnaissante, which is to come back to consciousness. So I'm kind of blown away by the power of gratitude. Yeah. Isn't that great? So this relates to the power of letting go and all of these things, but how has gratitude worked in your life and why the badass aspect, which I love?
Yes. Well, I like to say that Badass Gratitude, it's not your grandmother's gratitude book, but she'll like it too. And it's a sort of mindfulness. Absolutely. I start every morning, including this morning, which is an early morning for me here in California, with setting intentions and always end with gratitude. So, you know, intention is sort of setting the stage for what is going to happen in your day, and like even doing some visualizing and manifesting, and then also just like what you want, but it must be for the good of all. I mean, sure, you know, you can want like, you know, a boost to your income, more money, love in your life, as long as it's for the good of all. And it always ends with gratitude for what you have in this moment. So I think actually, in a nutshell, that is what badass gratitude is like to be being present to the moment. And what are you grateful for? And who are you grateful for in this moment? I'm grateful for all of you.
Brenda, aww, we're grateful for you too. And that's such
great. I'm more grateful. We are always in a competition here. I'm the gratefulest.
Brenda, that is such a badass, dreamy thought to leave hanging in the air for just a moment, because as ever, the clock is reminding us that time has a habit of moving on, whether we're ready or not. So we're going to take our second short break now, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we'll be bringing all three of our guests together for what promises to be an even more, if that's possible, expansive conversation. So hold that dream.
Because after the break, we're going to do... we're going to dream a little bigger, darling. And if you get that reference, then you will have officially earned your Dream Diva wings. Dream a little bigger, darling.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers, we're back. Now, before we dive in, I have to ask a quick fire here. Whoever answers correctly first gets a Dream Diva point of our three guests. Did everyone get Kelly's Dream a Little Bigger, Darling dream reference?
Inception. It's a great scene. It's very
I'm just going to
understated.
actually challenge Amy and Alex and Phil there, Kelly. You jumped
It's
the
required watching. Sorry. Okay. I just don't like suspense. I like giving people I'm
Inception,
not good
the
at that.
dream movie.
Dream a little bigger, darling. It's
Because
such a
one of the
great
characters
line.
comes with a small gun in the dream, and then another character comes and says, "You need to dream a little bit bigger, darling," and he's got a massive gun. Anyway, it's a meme.
We're not
Anyway, no.
promoting gun violence. No,
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 no, no,
no.
no. Only in
Only
dream.
in a dream.
It's a pretend gun. Anyway, whether you got the Inception dream reference or not, let's make this conversation just a little bigger. Brenda, before we bring in our dream team, I'd love to ask you just one more quick question. Your work is all about helping people discover their inner badass, and today's conversation has been about letting go and moving on. Do you think becoming a badass isn't really about becoming someone new, but about having the courage to just be authentically you, that you've always been a badass anyway? You just didn't know it.
Yes, you are releasing your inner badass. And there's some letting go in badass gratitude as well. You have to let go of what no longer serves you in your life, like toxic people, things, jobs, whatever it is. And that was one of the hardest lessons for me to learn, was to let go of people. But occasionally you have to, and someone else better for your life will come in.
Oh,
This show, it just gives me goosebumps. The
I
wisdom
know.
of our guests. We are so blessed.
The
Thank
healing
you, Brenda.
power of our dream guests. So
And
let's,
guest presenter time.
yes, we have some wonderful guest presenters with us. They always have a wonderful new way of taking the conversation in fresh
Because
directions.
let's
So
face it,
let's.
everybody's bored of Kelly talking by now, so we need
My God. Wake up, everybody. Alexandra will be. She's our resident sound healer. Let's begin with you, Alex. I believe you have a question or two for John because you know him and you've met him before. So
Thanks,
take it away,
Kelly. I do.
Alex.
I haven't met John before, but I would love to.
Oh,
I'm so happy that you're here,
interviewed him.
John.
You booked him for the
I
show.
booked him. Yeah, I booked him because I love his work. I was like,
Oh,
John, we've
okay.
got to get you on the show.
Wow. Thank you.
John, so interesting what you were saying about the healer. And actually, that relates to the question I was going to ask you, because as Kelly said, I'm a sound healer. And when people talk about manifestation and raising your vibration, it tends to be an inside job. But do you think that things like energy healing and sound healing can help raise your vibration from the outside? I mean, they can, but you know what I mean in terms of manifesting, like you can accelerate things with outside work.
Do you mean the raise the vibration of the person who's receiving the healing?
Exactly.
It's best if I if it's best if I just tell you my experience, right? So I've been I have, as I mentioned, I have zero medical qualifications, but we call him Swamiji. He's as soon as I became fully vegetarian, he started healing people through me 6 years ago, just when COVID started. And the first one was she basically was going to die, and she got better and went home. She had the last rites in hospital, then she went home, right?
Oh, that's incredible.
I'm a pure, I'm a channel. That's why I need to be vegetarian. So I'm a channel. But what I can tell you is, in terms of vibration, I've had some experiences recently, just last few months, where so I talk about the completion technique in the books, right? And completion, some of you may know, completion and healing, one's a Latin word, one's a Germanic word for the same thing. It's becoming whole, right? And one thing that I've run into over and over again is people want to be healed, right? And it could be stage four cancer, it often is, right? And they want to be healed, but they're holding on to all these negative beliefs. And the negative beliefs have to go, because otherwise which I've seen it happen, they will create a new cancer, whatever it is. Or in my case, one knee gets healed and you create a problem with the other knee because you haven't dealt with the belief, right? But anyway, so what I've experienced recently, and Swamiji told me this, is, so I spell it out to people. Okay, you've told me your beliefs. Your beliefs are affecting your health. Let's deal with that. Let's complete those. But one thing I've been doing is the way it's described is being the space in which the incompletions, the pain patterns dissolve. So sometimes what I need to do is just be there. And sometimes I'm not with them physically, I'm just looking at their photo. and it starts to dissolve. And one of the metaphors about raising vibration, I would imagine, yes, if you want to use that terminology, their vibration is going up. Certainly mine is. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Kundalini, but I feel Kundalini flowing through my body. It just rushes through my body. So yeah. So I would imagine it does pick up. Those people who measure vibrations, they would pick it up in the person who's healing and the person who's being healed, I would imagine.
And I suppose that relates to you being vegetarian as well, kind of that raises your vibration to then be the channel.
I would imagine. I just know, I mean, I was initiated as a healer several years. I mean, I haven't eaten meat for decades, but I was still eating fish and drinking alcohol and eating eggs, and like nothing happened. And as soon as I became fully vegetarian, the healing just suddenly started.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow. Wow.
A great
Fascinating.
commercial for vegetarianism.
Yeah, since the age of eight, I've been a veggie.
Have you?
People say I'm a part-time veggie because I do eat
That's
fish.
great.
Yeah, so and I'm sort of rethinking my options there as well. But anyway, enough about me. Back to the game. Dream scene is now well and truly set. Thank you so much, Alex, there. And for introducing us to the work and wisdom of John Purkis. Very, very grateful. But the scene is truly set now for our resident clinical psychologist to ask Brenda a question about the healing power of badass gratitude. It's Dr. Amy Robbins, everyone, host of the wonderful podcast Life, Death, and the Space Between.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Brenda, I love the concept of gratitude, but one of my questions is how do we truly embody it versus it just being something we're sort of walking through the motions of and saying? Or do we get there by practicing it? Like, where's the difference there? Because sometimes it feels like just a rote exercise and not really an embodiment.
Well, like I mentioned a moment ago, I start every morning by setting my intentions and speaking my gratitudes, literally when I'm still laying down in bed, while I've just have come out of a dream. And then the first thing I do is set my intention and speak my gratitude. And so that sets the tone for the day. But then later, I always take a moment and I try to, it's not at a specific time, but I will literally stop what I'm doing and write down three things I'm grateful for in that moment. So it's sort of like the being present to the moment, the spontaneity, and that causes it to be genuine and real and come from your heart and come from your mind.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Kelly, go ahead.
No, no. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I work with a lot of people who sometimes are not feeling grateful. So, how do you move them to a place of like, what is it that I can begin to feel grateful for when it does feel like, they're in a, like John was, like in a dark, depressive state that they don't see any light in?
No, I've been there too. Like right before the pandemic, my husband passed away suddenly. It was a sudden, unexpected death that nobody saw coming. And then I spent shelter in place alone. And so I was basically shocked out of my body and shocked out of my mind with the grief. But I did just try to sit with it and like be present. And what really came through for me was that even though I was deeply, deeply sad at the loss of my partner, ultimately I was just infused with gratitude and how lucky I was to know him, how lucky I
Wow.
was to love him. And so that was very healing for me. And I feel his presence all the time. I know he wants the best for me. And so that's an example of that, for my personal life, where I can say that was definitely the darkest time in my life. And I still found my way through gratitude. And it wasn't forced, it wasn't fake. It was real by just like sort of going inward, doing the inner work. So I would say that is really what, gratitude practice is going within. For all of us, no matter what it is,
Wow.
the wisdom is in within
Well,
Brenda,
Brenda, you are a badass to the max. You win the prize.
you
You
won't
definitely
feel
that.
tall.
That is incredible. And I want to, yeah, thank you very, very much for sharing that.
Walk
it touches
the talk.
Me deeply.
Thank you, Brenda. And I feel
thank
your
you.
Husband here now. When you mentioned
Yeah.
I've sensed him.
Let's, wow. Well, another badass, let's bring out 3, 2, 1 action. Phil Webster, our resident actor, intuitive life coach, author. He's got a new book coming out in just a couple months in
well, we're going to
September.
Spotlight it on the show, aren't
Yes,
we?
we are. Letting Glow, very related to this topic. What's that?
We got exclusive.
Exclusive, exactly. We get to be the first ones. But Phil, I want to bring you in to talk a little bit to Marijke. From an acting perspective, I mean, there, even if somebody's not an actor and they're watching or listening to this, I think it's an interesting process. So I'm curious about your take on this and how you'll segue this to a question with Marijke. But in order to act, kind of like John, you have to become an empty vessel. You have to let go, like self-empty, and then the character has to come through you. Is that part of your process?
Yeah, personally, no.
That was mine.
It's just repetition.
And I'm not doing it anymore,
lines.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, I know a lot of people do talk about that, and it makes sense that you would open yourself, and a lot of people do method acting, of course, and that's just all about embodying somebody else all the time, right? That's not something that I've ever tried to do. It's just really been about learning lines over and over and over again. And so, but anyway, sorry to ruin that segment.
Oh, you are priceless.
This is the behind the scenes. Okay,
I know,
you're
looking
for Marijke. Yes.
No.
I guess I would have
learn
to
the
cut,
lines.
Bleed for the role.
I've got to do one later, actually. I've got an audition where I've got to do an American accent. I was
well,
going to
everybody pray for Phil. Oh, you can't
but,
say
yeah.
what it's for.
Anyway,
no,
oh yeah, actually, it's yeah. Why not? It's for you know Taylor Sheridan that's made Yellowstone and all that stuff.
Oh, you'd be so good
big.
In that.
Yeah,
then
I
you'd
mean,
be in our neck of the woods, me and Marijke.
It's actually not.
I believe
it's not.
Sorry, can we get back to the guests? Sorry,
it's
we're just going to
be in Scotland. But anyway, thank you. But yeah, all right. Completely changing track. So we've been talking about healing a lot, right? This is kind of the direction that I wanted to go with Marijke, and I feel that like in lots of spiritual community and traditions, there's this sense that we often have to heal before we're allowed to experience joy. And I think that your work, I believe that you challenge that. So how do we deal with, for example, grief or anxiety or whatever it might be, while allowing ourselves to be playful? And like, how does joy act as a spiritual alchemy rather than just being a distraction?
You know, what a great question. I think it's a, how I would look at it is a slight mindset shift. So I've definitely experienced deep grief and anxiety and trauma in my life. And it's not that it happened all at once, but it was the playfulness and the lightheartedness comes. It begins to come when kind of what John was saying, when you allow yourself to turn towards it, when you actually befriend your mind for a minute first, you befriend your grief for a minute first. Oh, this is where I'm at. Maybe how Brenda was saying too, I am consumed with grief right now. What else is here? What does it feel like? What are the physical sensations of it? If I can detach the story from it a little bit, then I begin to introduce curiosity. And curiosity is, I always think of curiosity as the spark toward lightheartedness and playfulness. It's not You have to be okay to be where you're at. You have to first turn towards, I'm really sad. I don't, you know, this is just overwhelming me right now. Oh, what does that feel like? I remember in my first book, I really began to look at sadness because I was very sad. I had, anyway, and I described sad as a flat brown as a brown banana, You know, it was heavy and it was cloying. But even in beginning to use those sort of more creative ways of saying I'm sad, you begin to let something else in that isn't so one-sided, heavy. This is bad. This is always going to be bad. There's nothing here that I can grow from. I don't know.
Thank you, Marijke. You're letting
never thought of this question, so I'm talking about
to move on. What a perfect note to end on. And sadly, our show is drawing to a close, which as we've discovered today, is really just another way of saying it's time to move on, people, and that's a good thing.
Exactly. A huge thank you to our wonderful guests. They're always right on track, aren't they, Teresa?
Oh,
exactly
perfect.
The medicine I need. Thank you to John Perkis, or his spiritual name, Banahasta, Marijke McCandless, and Becca Anderson, aka Brenda Knight. And of course, to our fantastic dream team, Alexandra will be sound healer, Phil Webster, actor who's going to be in the next Taylor Sheridan series. And also to Dr. Amy Robbins from Life, Death, and the Space in Between. And thank you, as always, to Johan, our wonderful producer, and to all of you for sharing your dreams, your curiosity, and a little piece of your heart with us each week.
Yeah, we've covered dreams, letting go, moving on, remote healing, inner stripteases, gratitude, and somehow managed to squeeze Inception into the mix.
Did you say the inner striptease? Okay, wait, that's like a what? And all of this proves that when it comes down to dreams, there is always another layer to be explored.
Exactly. Thankfully, unlike a dream within a dream within a dream, we only have one show to remember who we are.
Although, if we ever do wake up and discover we're actually presenting another radio show inside this radio show, inside this radio
Johan,
show.
Johan, I'm asking for a bigger studio. If that
I want a helicopter so I can actually be in person with you guys. I don't know if a helicopter would get me all the way to England, but let's just dream a little bigger, darling.
Until next time, remember, whatever your dreams reveal, they are always inviting you to wake up to more of who you truly are.
So what are you waiting for? Get naked in your dreams, everyone. Dive in. The water's warm. Sweet dreams. Every symbol.